Hey there, Tampa Bay and around the world. This is Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries, located in Clearwater, Florida. And we are so blessed to be able to be on the air with you today. Some of you don't get the chance to listen live, but you do listen at a later time on our website, beaconofhopeministries.com. And you will find so many radio shows there, PJ. I would imagine hundreds at this point.
I would think so. This is what, our 334th show.
There
so
you go.
There's a couple hundred at least on there.
plenty of great times in the past almost 7 years, Alice. And you've been with us on the air and part of the radio team for a long time, too.
I have. It doesn't seem like quite so long, though.
Well, I think you joined us originally in about 09 on the radio. Yeah, right. As I remember. And then you moved away, and then you moved back, and moved away and moved back, or something like that.
Stay away.
So we are so glad to have you, Alice, and Pastor Jim, my associate pastor. I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister. And we are so glad to be here on the air today with you. But we are also glad to be celebrating some great big event that has just happened to us at Beacon of Hope. And I don't know. I don't think I could be more excited than I am today, Pastor Jim. What do you think?
I thought we were going to have to tie you down this morning.
Isn't that the truth?
It's kind of like one of those balloons on Macy's
exactly,
Thanksgiving
yeah.
Day Parade.
One of those that just takes off and goes by itself. Yeah. It's because, Alice, we have been so blessed with a brand new location for our ministry.
I know. It's wonderful.
Is it just amazing? And it's big.
It is. It's when I first drove up to it, I was like, well, that doesn't seem very big. And then I walk in and there's a place for Bible study.
Yes.
Sanctuary, offices. It's wonderful.
It's wonderful. Big kitchen. I mean, it's bigger than we've ever had and very, very nice and brand new painted, new carpeting. And it's basically a Drew and 19. What a great, great location.
That's a wonderful location.
And we are just off of Drew right here in the radio station, so it's not far from here, which is just excellent, easy access.
Yeah, it's easy. It's as easy to get to as our old location. I mean, that was something, you know, it's always a concern to make sure that people can find the new place.
Right.
But it's easy from, well, north, south, east, or west. It's
it really
easy to
is.
Get there.
And for precise directions, we would send you to our website, beaconofhopeministries.com, where we have brand new directions there that Maxine, our webmaster, has put on there from every direction, north, south, east, and west. But basically, if everybody and most people in the Tampa Bay area know where Best Buy is at Drew and 19, and if you don't turn into Best Buy and you go across the street, there is a street that heads north that has no name on it. So we call it the No Name Street.
It's right next to that apartment complex.
Right next door to that apartment complex, that street runs. Mm-hmm. Start on that street heading north, and it'll bring you right around to our church in just a big curve right there. So we're really at the corner of Beacon. Sure, we're at the corner of Beacon and
Beacon and Hope.
Well, it's named the street.
Yeah,
right?
There you go. We're at the corner of Drew and 19. And the exact address is 21933 U.S. Highway North and 19 North. And so go to our website again to get precise directions. Easy to find them.
Yeah, and we looked at the directions yesterday, and they're very, very good.
Very clear. With maps.
All those maps are incredible.
Aren't they great? And you can actually see the front of the building and everything. 21933 on Highway 19 at Drew and 19. That's where we are now, and it's exciting. Alice, we had our first service there, even though we had not moved any of our stuff in. Wasn't
it
crazy?
We all brought a chair so we had places to sit, and it was wonderful.
Better than sitting on the floor, right?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
And it was nice to have all that space. You know, even though everyone seems to congregate towards the back with their chairs.
Yes, they do.
So you just moved up and
yes,
joined us.
I did. Yeah. I figure I'd find you guys. I'm not going to stay clear up there. Yeah.
And that'll be a point when we move in the chairs tomorrow.
Right.
We'll just make sure we don't put a whole bunch toward the back.
Toward the back, right. Exactly. Because every church, it seems like people love to sit on the back row. So maybe they're afraid they're going to get called on or something.
Well, I think part of it is, I know for me, like if I have to get up Oh, yeah. The restroom, whatever. Right. I don't want to disturb a bunch of people.
Right.
So if I'm sitting towards the back, I disturb less people yeah. if I have to.
Well, and the way this sanctuary is now, it's very easy to get in and out to the back, the restrooms that are in the hallway. Right. So it really is going to be excellent compared to where we came from, where there was one little bathroom clear up front by the platform. Not a good scenario.
No.
But this is a great scenario. So we are so blessed and so praising God for this miracle. Just saw it. PJ and Ray and I just saw it last Saturday afternoon, and by Tuesday I was able to get everything worked out and sign the lease. So we're in and we're excited, and y'all have to come visit Beacon of Hope. It is wonderful, and we will tell you in a little while about a great big special day coming 5 weeks from today. So we are in a series, Free to Be. And it's the study of the book of Galatians. Alice, I'm enjoying this. Are you enjoying the teaching in Galatians?
I am enjoying it.
Yeah, there's so many things that we get bogged down in our lives, don't we? So many things the devil does to try to defeat us.
Yeah, he's got his tricks, doesn't he?
Doesn't he? Absolutely he does. And he knows our weaknesses, right. You know. A lot of times we call that an Achilles heel. You know, that's your weak place. Actually, my son was running and ended up last night there visiting my son and his wife, Candy, Mark and Candy. And he ended up with his foot in a bucket of ice because he really messed up his Achilles. Mm. And I tell you, that is a weak place in our bodies. And he was telling me that the doctor has said he's going to have to not run for 12 weeks, which is like really hard for him to do. But when we take that concept of the Achilles being that weak place in us, that place that the devil knows how to get us, you know,
right.
He knows our Achilles heel. He knows that place that we get tripped up. So stay tuned today, because we're going to be talking about that, those weaknesses in us. But we're going to be giving you hope. This show is all about free to be full of hope and free to be full of faith. And today it will be. And if God can do what he's done for us, PJ, Pastor Jim, in the last few weeks, this huge blessing, this miracle of a new space that we so needed. Go ahead. Finish that sentence.
It almost came out of nowhere.
It did. Very quickly.
I mean, you know, you actually had some time off, which is a miracle
in
itself.
Friday afternoon. A week ago, Friday afternoon.
Maxine said, I need you to go check on this place. Maxine,
right.
Our webmaster, who's looking for different spots for us.
Right.
You called the guy. You set it up to meet on Saturday. Ray and I and you went out to look at it. And it's really funny because the places we looked at before...
Just wouldn't do. Not big enough.
We pulled up there, and our first thought was, this isn't big enough either, until he opened up the door into the big back room. And it's like all three of us at the same time knew.
Yes.
This is it.
It's exactly right. Praise God. So God, we give you the glory and the praise right now. We thank you for this show as we begin it today. Lord God, we just thank you for your miracle working power in this ministry,
Amen.
Beacon of Hope, and the way you're working in our individual lives. Lord, you get all the glory and the praise. We can't begin to thank you enough. Our hearts are full of gratitude and praise to you today for the miracle of this new building, for this ministry. And Lord, we thank you for this show before we ever see what you're going to do, because we know you will minister to hearts around the world through this show today. So Lord, we thank you in advance in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. If you're listening locally on one of the radio stations here, 1340 AM and some of the others, you can also catch us on the internet right now, www.tantalk1340.com. And you can just even see us in the studio by video here, which is kind of cool around the world. So, and if you know somebody in some other state and you are blessed by this ministry, give them a call. Tell them to go to their computer, www.tantalk1340.com, and join in the show right now. So God bless you each as you listen. This is a great new song by Brandon Heath, Love Does. Let's hear it.
This one goes out to the world, changes, shining your light in the face of danger. What you know, you're a saint, you're a son, you're a promise keeper, bottom of the well, still digging down deeper. Oh, how far you gonna go?
Somebody knows your pain. Somebody knows your cry, the cry of your heart today. And that somebody is love himself. God is love. 1 John 4:8 is just such a great verse. God is love. That's who he is. His whole nature is love, and he loves you so much today, and he's got a plan for your life. We're going to Galatians chapter 3, starting with verse 6. And we're talking about, this was written by Paul, and Paul starts out talking about a great guy. Have you ever heard of Abraham? Well, I think so. Okay, Abraham, and Abraham was very distinctive because he is the one that God gave the covenant promises to. And it was because Abraham chose to believe God. And in Galatians 3:6, Pastor Jim, can you read it out of translation, whatever you have there? Actually, why don't you read down through verse 9 of Galatians.
Okay.
3:6-9. And now he's got his electronic Bible.
You know,
and
praise God
his
for technology.
Paper Bible. Okay.
Oh, praise God for technology.
Right.
This is from the Tree of Life version.
Okay.
Just as Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. Know then that those who have faith are children of Abraham.
Amen.
The scriptures, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, proclaim the good news to Abraham in advance, saying, all nations shall be blessed through you. So then, the faithful are blessed along with Abraham, the faithful one.
Oh my, I love that translation. So those who are faithful, that's you and I, Alice.
Yes.
That's those of us who say, wait a minute, I choose to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he died on a cross, became a curse for us, which it says in Galatians 3. Took our sins, our sicknesses, our diseases, everything, our emotional stuff, took it on his own body on the cross. All we have to do is believe, you know? I mean, it sounds so simple, Alice.
It sounds simple, but it's not.
True belief changes your life, don't you think?
Yes, it does.
I mean, there's one thing. There's people who will give mental assent, like, oh, yeah, okay, yeah, yeah, I've heard about Jesus. Yeah, yeah, okay. It's another thing when we truly believe, because believing does something down on the inside of us, does it not?
It does. Believing, it's different than just acknowledging.
It is it not? Yes, yes.
When you believing, it brings it, makes it real.
Makes it real. And it also actually causes us to have to react. If we're really believing something, okay, for instance, you've got a green shirt on, a great Beacon of Hope shirt, and none of the three of us are colorblind that I know of. So, you know, you say, ah, that's a green shirt. And I say, oh, nice green shirt. Somebody comes along and goes, no, that's pink. You know, maybe they're, you know, you go, wait a minute. No, I know I'm not colorblind. I know this shirt is this color.
I believe.
You believe it's this color, and you're not going to let them tell you it's pink when you know it's green.
Right.
Because you know you're not colorblind, right?
Right.
So when we get to a point in our lives where we know that we know that we know, and we say that a lot, mm-hmm. but we know that God loves us, that he cares about us, that Jesus went to the cross for us, and that all it takes is believing. It really changes our whole life when we realize that we got to stand for something, PJ. We got to believe something. We got to say, yes, I believe. We can't be wishy-washy and say, well, I'm not sure Jesus really was the Son of God, died on a cross. No, that's not belief. Belief is, oh, yeah, I know Jesus Christ, the Son of God.
Yeah, and belief necessitates a change.
Yes, it does.
You know, if I believe that Jesus is the Son of God,
right,
and that if I believe that he rose again from the dead, then that changes everything.
It impacts your life, right?
It impacts everything
right.
in my life. If I just say, well, I mean, I could recite, you know, long before I met Jesus and knew Jesus, I could recite the creeds.
Right.
So I gave a lot of mental assent. Oh, yeah, I believe in God the Father Almighty, blah, 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 blah.
Right.
But I didn't believe, you know. I gave mental assent. And that
right.
doesn't require me changing my life.
Right.
But to say that I believe in Jesus, that impels me to make a decision. what am I going to do with that belief?
Exactly.
You know, because Jesus said, you know, if you believe in me, then these things are going to happen.
Right.
And we can't just let it alone.
No, we've got to. It requires action.
Yes.
If we really say we believe that Jesus Christ took our sins in his body on the cross and our sicknesses, whatever, then when we fall into, let's say, some unbelief, some doubt, we fall into areas of pain or suffering in something, and then we say, wait a minute, yes, I do believe Jesus took that on the cross, it requires that we actually take a stand, that we take authority over the attacks of the devil. Let's say the devil's coming saying, oh, you're not saved. You know, oh, what about you doing this and you did that? Romans 8:1 says there is now, therefore, no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. If we truly believe that Jesus took our condemnation and our sin in his body on the cross, Alice, what does that do? What does that mean we have to do about this?
We just have to believe.
We have to believe.
If we truly believe that you know, all this, that Christ died on the cross and
right.
all that, then there's no reason to not to believe
right.
the promises and the gifts that are in the Word.
Exactly. So we take it to the step of we can be free. Okay, this whole right. series is free to be. Free to be what? Well, one of the things free to be is full of faith, full of hope, full of joy, not free to be hopeless and helpless and depressed and discouraged and sick.
We can be free to be that if we want.
The good
news is Jesus set us free from all that.
Exactly.
You know, we can certainly, even as Christians, choose to be sick, be depressed, be possessed, you know,
exactly.
be oppressed, whatever.
We can be.
We can allow that, but we don't. The good news is we don't have to.
Well,
Jesus provides the way of escape
right.
from all that.
Right. In Deuteronomy 30, God said to Moses, choose you this day. You know, choose life, choose death. Are you finding that?
Mm-hmm.
All right. I'll let you find that, because that is really a good passage, which brings it down to choice. We can choose to live free in a free way. We can choose to live totally bound up by the things the devil throws at us. Go ahead, Alice. Because there are times that we just find ourselves thinking, oh, this spiritual walk is just hard because it means I got to continue to believe God for whatever it might be, a job, a relationship, go ahead, read Deuteronomy 30. I love this.
And I just read this yesterday.
Did you?
Enough.
I love this.
Starting with verse 19. Today I've given you the choice between life and death, between blessing and curses.
Right.
Now I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice you make. Oh, that you would choose life.
Amen.
So that you and your descendants might live. And I got to read verse 20.
Oh, go ahead.
You can make this choice by loving the Lord your God, obeying him, and committing yourself firmly to him. This is the key to your life. And if you love and obey the Lord, you will live long in the land the Lord swore to give your ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Amen. So the promise was given to Abraham of how God was going to give him this whole land, and the Israelite people were going to have their own place, and all of this, kind of similar to us at Beacon, because we've been believing for our own place for quite a while, haven't we, Alice?
Yeah, we have.
Yeah, so, but God gave this promise to Abraham, and Abraham had a choice. He could believe it or not. And I love that from Deuteronomy 30, because God says, choose you this day. Okay,
well,
go ahead.
And that goes right along with what we talked about before, about believing necessitates a choice.
Amen.
What am I going to do with this?
Right.
And Moses told the Israelites, you know, this, and this is at the end. He recited the whole law again, kind of reviewed those whole 40 years in the wilderness. And he reminded them, you know what God's done for you.
Right.
Now choose. What are you going to do?
Right. Bottom line, what has God done for us? And why do we want to choose freedom? Why not just stay bound up? Why not? Why not just stay totally bound up and And, you know,
because that's no way to live.
It's no way to live. You're right.
Nobody wants to be bound up. I mean, just you know, picturing it in your head of being bound up, you know,
right.
tied up and stuff. It doesn't. It's not comfortable. It's not a nice place to be. But to be free, to be able to move, be able to do the things that, you know,
right.
God wants you to do, and follow the path that He's
Amen.
Asked you to walk. You're free to do that. And not be held up and not be, you know, forever at a stoplight.
Exactly. Exactly. Don't you hate that in traffic around Tampa Bay when you're always like, and you realize, oh my, I've been here already 15 minutes and this line's not moving at all. Don't you hate that?
Yeah.
I mean, I do, because I'm always in a hurry, you know. So, you know, you're right about that, Alice. But there's so many people, I'm just going to throw this out there, and there may be somebody listening today, they get into this victim mentality of, you know, oh, well, I've been so hurt, I've been so this, I've been so that, and people have treated me awful, or my divorce was terrible, or my children treat me bad, or whatever the case may be, I don't know. But there's so much of that negativity that's in our world today. And so many people that get bogged down to think their life is never going to change. They can't seem to get beyond the yuckiness of the past or the present. They get stuck. They get mired in a rut of self-pity, you know?
Yeah, I understand what you're saying, because, you know, all that, the thing is, all that stuff is in the past.
It is,
and
yeah.
There's, you can't change it. What's
right.
happened has happened. What's done is done. Today is today. You can make changes today
right.
that can give you a better outcome, a better future.
Absolutely.
So, you know, with the choices that we have, we can choose to, like you said, be bound up and
right.
stay in that quicksand of,
right.
of a negativity.
Absolutely.
And remembering the things of the past, or you can choose to step out of that and move forward and point your life in a different direction.
You are exactly right. And let's go to Romans 7, because I think Romans 7 fits right here perfectly. And I kind of touched on it this morning in my sermon at Beacon of Hope. I didn't go into great detail. But Romans 7 is also written by Paul. Galatians was written by Paul. And in Romans 7, Paul is saying, you know, there's this thing that happens that there are times I recognize, it's like I get a light bulb, you know, and I realize, wow, I can be free from, let's say, depression or anxiety or fear or worry. I can be free of that. And it's almost like, and I think we can all relate to this, some days we wake up and it seems like the sky is bluer, the grass is greener. We have hope. We have like, oh, okay, my circumstances are going to be okay. I'm going to be all right. And then some days we wake up and the devil just plays with us. And Jesus said in John 10:10, the thief, which is the devil, comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And Jesus said, but I came to give you life and to give it abundantly. And that second part of John 10:10 is Jesus saying, but there is another option here. Choose life. Choose abundant life. Choose freedom. This whole series we're talking about. Choose to be free from all that. And the devil's going, hey, no, I came to steal, kill, and destroy. So PJ, right there in Romans 7, and I'm not sure exactly what verse you want to start with, but it describes Paul's agony, and I love this chapter. And it's not one of those chapters until the last verse that you feel much hope in. I mean, you're kind of like wandering around in Romans 7 thinking, oh, poor Paul, he's a mess.
Well, he's human, and he's showing.
There you go.
He's showing his humanness.
He's showing his humanity.
You know,
he is.
It's not that, you know. Yes, he was a great follower of Christ, and wrote all these wonderful letters, and
right.
was a great teacher and
yes.
role model and all that. But he's letting these people know in this letter that, you know, I'm messed up too.
Right.
I'm not the perfect person.
Amen.
You know, I've got troubles. I've got areas in my life where I can have improvement.
Yes.
And I keep struggling with that.
Right.
So he understands the struggles that we all have every day, day to day.
That is so right on, Alice. And I love the fact that this chapter is included mm-hmm. in the Bible, because I think, PJ, so often people think that that Christians in ministry, okay, let's say the three of us in ministry, that we don't struggle, that we never have any issues come up, that we never have any things that we have to overcome. You know what I'm saying, Alice? It's not true, is it, Alice?
No, it's not true. Some of us struggle with stuff day to day.
Exactly.
Hour to hour, minute by minute.
And again, that's showing our humanity, the fact that, and I love the fact that Jesus took on the human form and came to this earth and felt the same things we feel. Tell me that he never felt a moment of discouragement. Yes. Or that he felt like, oh my gosh, what's the matter with you people? You know, he did. Frustration, depression sometimes, I'm sure, hit him, but he overcame. And that's right. What Paul says here. So begin reading, PJ, wherever you feel led.
I'll start about verse 14.
Verse 14 of Romans 7.
Yeah. For we know that the Torah, the law, is spiritual, but I am of the flesh, sold to sin.
Wow. Okay, now, so this is even after his conversion, correct?
This is after Paul's
conversion. Let's make sure people understand that this is not before Paul got saved.
Right, this is after.
After he got saved. So this relates to every one of us out there. Okay, go ahead.
For I do not understand what I am doing. For what I do not want, this I practice. But what I hate, this I do. But if I do what I do not want to do, then I agree with the law that it is good. So now it is no longer I doing it, but sin dwelling in me.
Mm-hmm.
And I love this next verse. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is in my flesh. For to will is present in me, but to do the good is not. For the good I want, I do not do, but the evil that I do not want, this I practice.
Oh, I love that.
I love that.
You love it too? And I love the way that says it there in that Bible. And it's very similar in my Message Bible. It says it almost the same.
It's just so human.
It's honest.
The struggle each of us goes through.
Right.
I'm reminded of, there's actually an old Keith Green song called Romans 7. And he sings this particular verse. And it's like, that's the struggle we all go through.
Right.
We try, and Paul, you know, Paul's saying, you know what? I'm right there with you, because the things I want to do, I don't. The good things I want to do, I don't. The things I hate, I end up doing.
Right.
You know, and that's that whole struggle. And Paul's familiar with it. I mean, he spends all of Romans chapter 6 talking about how we died to the old man, to everything we inherited in Adam. In first part of chapter 7, he talks about how we died to the law.
Right.
It can't force us to do anything anymore. And yet he still says, you know what? The struggle still goes on.
And the struggle goes on because of our humanity. It also goes on because of the pressure coming at us. And for those of you out there that are in ministry of any type, the devil is going to try his best to lead you into areas of unbelief, fear, doubt, anxiety, you know, lust, you just name it. We could go on and on and on, all the things that the devil tries to lead people into. And why is that, Alice? Why is the devil constantly trying to steal, kill, and destroy?
Because he doesn't want God's word to multiply.
Amen.
He doesn't want,
good answer.
He doesn't want,
good answer.
He doesn't want us to be able to minister properly.
No, he does not.
So, you know, he wants us to be floundering.
Absolutely.
Like I said, in the quicksand, you know,
right,
trying to keep our head above water.
That was a good metaphor there, the quicksand, because a quicksand situation, or like a sinkhole in Florida.
Right.
You know, we just had that man swallowed up, you know, a few months back in Brandon. That was like horrific.
That was terrible.
You know, that he's asleep in his bed and a sinkhole opens under his house and swallows him up. And they never saw him again. That was it. And, you know, that was a horrendous thing. Probably the worst story of sinkholes I've ever heard. And I'm a realtor and I've heard a lot of sinkhole stories, let me tell you. But that one, to be totally swallowed up, but it's a good metaphor for what the devil tries to do. And even I like the fact in that analogy, the fact that the guy was sleeping in his bed. And this is what happens to so many Christians, I believe, Alice. They're asleep at the wheel.
Right.
Okay. They're driving, but they're not awake. You know, they're not really driving the bus. They think they are, but they're really not.
Well, I think it's more like they're, like you said, they're falling asleep at the wheel.
Yes.
They may be letting, you know, letting God drive the bus, and
right.
they've kind of taken a lackadaisical mm-hmm. view of things, and then Satan just sneaks up,
oh.
and all of a sudden you find yourself in this mess,
right,
and not knowing how to get out.
Exactly.
And then finding, sometimes people find it easier just to stay put,
right,
where you are in that mess, than try to, find the way out that God has for you.
I totally agree with you, Alice. In fact, I really believe that this is one of the major problems in the world of Christians these days, is this lazy, lackadaisical, complacent, I'll just stick right here. I don't want to get out there on the front line of faith here. I don't want to get out there on the firing line. You know, I don't want the devil. I'm not going to do much for God. I'm not going to read my Bible because I don't want to be hit by, you know, one of the daggers coming from the enemy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do. It's like people get their fire insurance and they feel that's enough.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
You know, okay, I'm saved. I'm saved. That's it. Mm. So is that really belief? Of course, we could argue that this whole radio show.
I think it's belief, but it's a at the same time, it's a lack of action.
Right.
It's a fear. You believe that, you know, that Jesus is the Son of God and that he saved you and all that. So, yes, you're saved. However, you haven't given over all of the issues like fear,
exactly,
and depression and the other things that may be drawing you back and making you not be all that you can be in Christ.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You got a comment to that, PJ, I can tell.
Well, I ran back to Zephaniah for a second.
Oh, of course you did.
Of course I did.
Because everyone reads that first off.
Sure, everybody runs to Zephaniah, don't they? Yeah.
Okay.
All right, we're sorry. We're just
that's
teasing
okay.
you.
Zephaniah.
Sound like a funny comment, that's all.
I know. Zephaniah, chapter 1, verse 12. I will search with lanterns in Jerusalem's darkest corners to punish those who sit complacent in their sins.
Ooh.
They think the Lord will do nothing to them, either good or bad.
Wow.
And
wow. I can see why you ran to Zephaniah. Yeah. That's kind of strong.
Well, it is. And it is strong. But I mean, and I was thinking when you were talking, you know, the John's vision of the seven churches, the
yes.
church of Laodicea. That was the one that disgusted the Lord because
right.
they were complacent. They were lukewarm. And, yeah, I just, so many times we don't want to fight to get out of whatever it is.
Right.
Because, A, maybe we're deceived and don't think we can.
Right.
Maybe we just don't want to, complacency or laziness, or maybe it's because it's comfortable.
I think it's comfortable, yeah, a lot of times.
Sometimes, and that's one of Satan's, I think that's one of Satan's cruelest tricks, is to make our bondage what's comfortable for us.
Right.
To make, you know, to make what is so bad for us so comfortable.
Right.
For us. And that's just cruel.
Well, it's that thing that comes upon us where we think, I'm just rather sit in this mess than do anything about it.
Because this is what I know.
Exactly.
This is what I'm comfortable with.
Have you ever watched hoarders shows?
Ugh.
They are really bad. They are really disgusting, Alice.
I thought I was a bad housekeeper.
No, you're not. You're not a hoarder. I've been in your home, but I have been in homes of hoarders. I've had a couple listings through the years of hoarders that were so bad that I'm not going to gross our listening audience out with what I saw and what had to happen before we could even sell the house, where there's rats and there's all kinds of stuff, you know. And it begs the question, how does a person live in that mess day after day? And I believe I'm thinking of one lady in particular, an older lady, very sweet, very kind lady. She didn't really see it. She acted like, I don't know what you mean. It's not that bad. You know, so bad that you walk in the door and you gag because of the smell, but it's not that bad. I mean, you're so bad that you see rats running. It's not that bad. She got so I mean, I think this happens in Christians, Jim.
We humans have an incredible ability, a propensity for self-deception.
Oh, boy, that's wise. We need to write that down, listening you audience. Know, self-deception. And that's really true. That is right on.
And, you know,
Deceive ourselves.
I know. I've been there.
You're not a hoarder.
No, but I mean, in other things, we have just this ability to listen to the lies and to allow ourselves to be deceived, to end up deceiving ourselves into thinking that Alice's shirt is pink.
Right.
You know, getting back to that earlier conversation, you know, well, yeah, it's pink because that's what I'm seeing, you know.
Right.
We just have that ability to...
We're so easily lulled to sleep.
Yeah.
Of course, I think of that now with my new little twin great-granddaughters who are, by the way, 7 pounds, 3 ounces and 7 pounds, 4 ounces and absolutely beautiful baby A and baby B. Just had to run that in there because that's just a miracle. But you know what? My granddaughter and I were talking the other day. You know, when they first came home from the hospital, you really didn't have to make any effort to get them to sleep at all. You know, they were just out.
Yeah.
You know, because they were born 5 weeks early. They were just, they slept most of the time. Now it's like, they're awake. They're awake. They're looking around, okay? And so there has to be more effort made to get them to sleep. Well, the devil, when you used to be at a point where he could just easily lull you to sleep and you didn't even pay attention that you were being led down this rabbit trail.
I was going to say, you used to call it that little primrose path.
Primrose path to some terribly destructive behavior like lying or cheating or, I'll just twist it a little bit and then it just grows and grows. Or drug addiction because we've been around that. We've all been around that. Alcoholism, drug addiction in some form in our life. And what starts out small can really be led down that path. And so, but the devil has amazing ways to continue to lull us down that. And I know I went three directions once right there and didn't really come back to the point. But the point is that even though it may seem like, I'm a strong Christian, he still has ways to destroy and uproot our faith. He does. We have to be on our toes, saints of God, and be courageous. And we have to employ what it takes to stay ahead of, like with my granddaughter, she's got to learn what it takes, put one in a swing to get her sleep and, you know, whatever. You have to be aggressive with technique. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you always have to be on your guard.
You got to be on your guard, Alice.
You have to be on your guard and you have to... constantly be aware of everything that's happening around
that's
you
right.
and in you.
Got to be aware. It's awareness. I asked Connie to put this next song on here. It's one of my favorites now, and it's by Casting Crowns. We played it many times through the year or two of the last couple of years. Courageous is the name of the song. And guys, this is what it takes. If we are going to really be free, we've got to be courageous enough to fight the battles. And we have got to be like Abraham, believe that what God told him was true. And then set out from his homeland and go in search of that promised land. And he had to be courageous enough to do it. And that's what this show is about. Let's be courageous enough to become free in those areas of our lives that are binding us. Here it is. I love this song.
We were made to be courageous. We were made to lead the way. We could be the generation that finally breaks the chains. We were made to be courageous. On the sidelines while our families slip away. Where are you, men of courage? You were made for so much more. Let the pounding of our hearts cry.
The mind, I'm going to have to take my stand. Where is the battle? The devil is trying his best to defeat you, Christian. He wants to. And I love these words from that Casting Crown song. The only way we'll ever stand is on our knees with lifted hands. That's talking about prayer and praise, Alice. Yes. That is what it's all about. We got to be courageous. Oh.
Yes, I agree.
I'm fired up about this. I mean, not just fired up about our new building, but fired up about the fact that there are multitudes of people in this world who are limping along in their Christian walk. And a few weeks ago, I lifted some furniture that I should never have lifted. And I was helping a friend, and I shouldn't have done it. And when I did it, I felt something go, you know, in my back, you know. And then it started an ordeal of 2 or 3 weeks of down the sciatica, and you know, you can barely walk, and I'm limping, and everywhere I go. So if you're limping, then it throws your body off, you know, and then now the other side's hurting, and pretty soon you're awake in the night and you're feeling terrible. And it took a lot of decisive action on my part. You notice I'm not limping now. I'm walking just fine.
Praise
but
God.
It took action, it took prayer, it took believing. It took some deliberate decisions, and to come out of that, I could have still been sitting here going, you know, guys, I can't come to church because I'm just not feeling good because I hurt my back because I lifted some, you know what I'm saying?
I'm just a big owie.
You know, it happens all the time, Alice. People, I mean, seriously, and it takes courage to stand up in whatever area of your life and say, okay, Satan, no way. You are not going to defeat me in this. Bring us your Galatians 6. See how that fits right here.
Yeah. You know, and again, Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. Dear brothers and sisters, if another believer is overcome by some sin, you who are godly should gently and humbly help that person back onto the right path. And be careful not to fall into the same temptation yourself. Share one another's burdens, and in this way, obey the law of Christ.
Well, what's that saying to you, PJ?
Well, you know, it's easy, and it's easy to correct somebody.
Right.
But, you know, Paul, I love what Paul says here. Do it gently and humbly to help them get back on the right path. And I just finished reading Timothy, and there's all sorts of very similar advice about how to do that, because I think some people, and I have a tendency to do this, it's very easy to not do it gently and humbly, but to point out your sin in great detail and tell you you better get back with God or else. And then, but Paul says, you know what?
It's not the way to do it.
That's not the way to do it. And watch yourself. Because you can bet if I'm doing it with that attitude, there's pride, self-righteousness there, I'm about ready to trip and fall flat on my face.
And don't you think that this scripture that God just gave you a minute ago fits perfectly with what Paul was saying in Romans 7? Paul had the ability to cut people to the quick with his words.
Oh, absolutely.
He was a strong orator.
Just ask the Corinthians.
Yeah, and I mean, look at the book of Corinthians. He just chops them down. And this is interesting that you say this, because this can go right along with Romans 7, where Paul says, the thing I don't want to do, I end up doing, you know? And yeah. I'm sure that's meant there were times that he just got out of line and let people have it in a way that was not
appropriate.
Loving,
right.
Appropriate, kind, gentle. I find this very interesting. Don't you?
Yeah, it is.
Because I think we are free to be full of love. We are free to be full of kindness. We are free to be full of God's grace and mercy. And a lot of times, instead of walking in that, we're walking in judgment, criticism, the law. This whole thing in Galatians is about letting go of the law and walking in Christ's victory, his finished work on the cross.
Yeah, and earlier in chapter 3 of Galatians, Paul says, who bewitched you? I mean, the literal translation right. is, who put a spell on you?
Right.
To make you think that you started with the Spirit, you're going to finish in the flesh?
Right. I love that.
And he makes that really pointed remark. Just how did you get saved and how did you get the gifts of the Spirit? Was it by doing the law or was it by faith?
Right. It's all by faith.
Yeah. Now, me, and I've said this many times, I'm one of those people who, for years, had a performance-based salvation.
Explain
that. I would try and rack up salvation points.
Salvation points. Okay, PJ, let's talk about that, because I don't think you're the only one out there in Radioland that has based their Christianity on performance.
And I think a lot of that has to do with growing up, how we perceived acceptance growing up. Those of us on the outside, which would have been me, both in my home and like at school,
just not accepted, not loved, and accepted.
You have to work for that acceptance,
right?
And yeah, I know. And I'm going to quote the King James, Nan, if you're listening, this is for you. you know, in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, who has accepted us,
right,
in the beloved? I love that translation from the King James. I'm accepted in Jesus.
Amen.
I don't have to work for it.
Right.
And that's Paul's whole point here is you don't have to work for your acceptance. God loves you right here, right now, looking at all the gunk in your life. He loves you. And it took me a long, long time. And there's still times I slip back into that. You know, there's still times I kind of think, well, you know, I better do this or I need to do this. I gotta pray more. I gotta pray 20 minutes more.
Right.
You know, and I was thinking about it last night. You know, not us, but Protestants in general tend to look down on Catholics for penance.
Right.
Okay. You just say 5 Hail Marys and 10 Our Fathers and that's it. And yet, you know, we said, well, you know, that's not how it's supposed to work.
Right.
And yet we do the same. We Protestants do the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, we'll say, well, okay, in our hearts, we'll say, well, I'll read 5 more chapters today because I really screwed up yesterday. No, that's works. If I really screwed up, I need to come to God, confess my sins.
Yes.
Believe that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses me from every sin and then move on.
Right.
And just sometimes I think we have such a hard time accepting a free gift.
Right.
Except at Christmas.
Right.
But, you know, I mean, just in general, we think if someone gives us a gift, and I know, I mean, I look back over my life, I just, I don't know what to say.
Right.
You know, I get all tongue-tied. It's like, I don't know what to say.
And this is God's free gift to us.
Right.
The fact that we can be, again, using that word, free to walk in his grace and his mercy. Do you want to comment on that? Because I think there are so many times, Alice, that we get so feeling undeserving of the mercy, the grace, the love, all that God, the gifts that he gives us. I mean, we feel that we haven't deserved it, and it's not about us deserving it.
Right. That's the whole point.
Right.
That's God's grace
right.
is that we don't deserve it.
Right.
And yet we have his love and his acceptance and his forgiveness anyway.
Right.
So, you know, that's the whole point. You don't deserve it.
Right. But we're free to accept it.
Right.
We're free to take all of that. We're free to be free from depression, anxiety, worry. And you say, you keep saying that. Yeah, because I believe there's people out there in radio land today that are so bogged down by anxiety and stress and worry that they cannot live the way up to the capacity that God wants them to live. Instead, they're walking around. And Paul says it in one of these verses here in the Message Bible with like a low-lying black cloud over there, which reminds me of, is it Linus? Who is it in the Peanuts that's got that little dirt cloud?
Pigpen
over him, you know, you just, and you imagine that he smelled really bad, right? Pigpen had that. But I mean, so often Paul says we walk around like we've got this low-lying black cloud all over us. Like at the very next moment, the next shoe, the shoe's going to drop and something awful is going to happen because we have so often been conditioned to believe that, you know, bad things just keep happening to good people.
Well, and unfortunately, that's a lot of that is because, like you said, you've been conditioned to believe
yes.
that because
yes.
you have a history. You may have a history in your life.
Right.
Of, you know, bad things continually happening.
Right.
And, you know, it gets you in a depression because, you know, okay, well, this has happened. What else is going to happen now? You know,
right.
Or you, maybe you remember what's happened in the past and
right.
that's,
bad memories coming
causing,
up. Yes.
That's causing depression. You know, I get a strong feeling today that there's people listening in the audience that deal a lot with anxiety, panic yeah. attacks, agoraphobia, people not leaving their homes because of fear.
Okay.
And things like that.
I agree with that.
So, yeah, it's really important for everyone to remember that there is the only fear that there is the fear that Satan puts there.
Right.
Yeah, bad things have happened. They may have happened in the past, but doesn't mean that bad things are going to happen in the future.
Right. So step out. Become free. And we are going to pray for people in this show in a little while and for those very things. So stay tuned with us because we got a whole nother hour where we're going to talk about this freedom. We're going to go to Romans 8. I just absolutely love Romans 8. Probably one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. But, you know, Paul has written the Galatians. The whole book of Galatians is about becoming free.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to go to the last verse of Romans 7 when we go past the next hour here. But we want to invite you to one of our services. If you're in the Tampa Bay area, we welcome you to our brand new Beacon of Hope home, which is at 21933 U.S. Highway 19 North, basically at the intersection of Drew and 19. Go to our website, beaconofhopeministries.com, for precise directions, maps, and join us for service. Sunday mornings are at 10:30. Wednesday night Bible study is at 7. We actually, Alice, are going to have our own Bible study room. We're not going to have to take tables up and down.
I know.
Wait a minute.
So
that is like a bang, 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 don't you think? As soon as we get everything moved in tomorrow, that is, we will have a Bible study room.
That's very exciting. And I know PJ, Pastor Jim over there, is very excited about having a Bible study room. And
yes.
We're going to have a whiteboard up there.
Whiteboard, that yes.
And then chairs and tables we don't have to take down every,
right.
every week.
Glory to God.
We've done that for 12 years. Taking them up, putting them down. Yes.
And then to have an office again.
Yes, yeah. For counseling.
I told Pastor today, for counseling, but also treasurer.
Right.
I can actually go away and hide.
Right.
You know,
take care of the finances.
I like,
and,
you know, yes. it's just nice to kind of be away from the congregation when I'm doing that.
Right. So. Well, for some of you who say, why are you so excited about this? We have had to be in storage since the end of January, since the building we were renting was actually in foreclosure, and long story, no point in going into it. But we had to go into storage and meet in a hotel. The Hotel Ramada Inn on Almerton was very gracious, very sweet. But we needed our own space, get everything out of storage. We'll talk more about that in just a minute because it's station ID time.
WTAN Clearwater, Tampa Bay. WDCF Dade City, Tampa Bay.
Wow.
WZHR Zephyr Hills, Tampa Bay. Listen.
All right. Listen. Okay. Let's listen. We're excited. And Dave and Lola, the owners of this station, so wonderful. And, you know, have allowed Beacon of Hope to be on this station. We're in our seventh year, guys. Hard for me to even imagine not having a radio show. Started at an hour, then it went to an hour and a half, and then it's been 2 hours for a few years now. And we get to the end of the 2 hours, don't we, Allison? We're going, where'd the time go?
Yeah.
I remember that the first time that I did the show after we moved to 2 hours.
Right.
You know, because our debate was, what are we going to do? How are we going to fill up that extra half hour?
It's just what not hard at all.
One extra half hour.
No,
you know?
It's
like we just right through it.
Oh, we love it. And we welcome you to become a financial partner with Beacon of Hope. You will know, those of you that listen regularly to the show, that I am not one that pushes and yells and screams about money. I do not do that, but I will tell you, this is good soil, this ministry, and you might as well plant an offering, a tithe into this ministry, especially if this show is your church, because you will be blessed abundantly beyond all that you can imagine by planting tithes and offerings in soil where the Word of God is taught, and that is what we're all about. We're not a political entity, we're a ministry, and we are so excited about the Word of God, and that's what this show is all about. It's the Word, where the Word of God brings healing and restoration to hurting lives. So we invite you. I mean, it's a cool thing to be able to do this. Go to our website, beaconofhopeministries.com, and go to the PayPal section and send an offering. And it is needed, especially for the radio outreach, and it's needed right now for our move. And already God's people are beginning to respond. So we are very thankful that people are rising up and are sending their tithes and offerings. And it's just great to be able to share the Word of God on a weekly basis. So, Alice, what happens on Wednesday night for Bible study? And why would we be so excited about tables in a Bible study room? Could you explain that to our listening audience?
Well, there's two reasons I can think of right offhand. The first is dinner. Because people getting right off of work, they don't have time to stop for a sit-down meal or whatever.
Right.
They'll drive through somewhere or run into...
You're all the time driving through Subway, aren't you? Well, you know what
Subway
else.
Subway and Jimmy John's.
Subway and Jimmy John's. Here it goes.
And getting, picking up a sandwich or something and
sure.
Bringing it there. And you can eat your meal while we have prayer meeting and Bible study. And you don't feel bad about doing it. You won't be the only one.
No, not at all.
And the second reason is because of just you need your Bible and you need to be able to take some notes, and having the tables gives you good space to do that. So you're
it
not,
really
not
does.
Trying to juggle things on your lap that never seems to work out well.
And these tables are going to be set up all the time now, and we'll also use that as our fellowship hall.
Which will be great.
Wouldn't that be great? Because we have a lot of meals and stuff. Tomorrow, actually, is move-in day. At Beacon of Hope and our
and,
mover.
And game day.
And game day, absolutely. Green Light Movers, it's owned by Stephen Keblin and Debbie Keblin, and those are very close friends of mine. They're actually my dog's godparents. We call them Uncle Stephen and Aunt Debbie, and close friends of mine for many years. And Stephen and his crew will be moving all of our stuff of storage tomorrow. If you need a new mover... If you need somebody, you know somebody's going to move in the near future, you can just shoot me an email, pastor@bohmglobal.com, and I'll pass that information along to Stephen. He is very trustworthy, a great company, Greenlight Movers, and or you can go to their website, and I think it's greenlightmovers.com, if I had to guess. But anyway, it's light is L-I-T-E. So great people, and they will be moving us tomorrow, Alice. And we're excited about that because all of our stuff, there's stuff we haven't seen for a few years.
I know. I think there's some things that I've never seen.
We know there are some things you've never seen.
Like the other half of the
platform.
The platform. I'm looking forward to seeing that.
Yeah, I've never seen that.
You too, because that's been in storage since 08, since the truck ran through our building in Dunedin in 08. So you guys came right after that happened.
Right.
So you'll be excited to see that. And all the chairs, a church in Georgia that I had preached at a few years ago, disbanded a year and a half ago, and they gave us all of their stuff. So there's things that a lot of you have not seen, like a beautiful oak communion table. You're going to love that, Pastor Jim. It's beautiful. And a big pulpit and all kinds of things. I never stay put. And you don't either, by the way, when
no,
you
I
teach.
Don't, but I like to have someplace to lay my Bible.
All right. Well, you're going to see this gorgeous
pulpit.
And pulpit
just looks nice and stately.
It is gorgeous. So we're going to have all that out tomorrow. And that will mean a lot of dust. So if you want to come help us, we're having a picnic lunch at the building, 21933, tomorrow, U.S. 19 North, and move things in, grab a dust rag, and join Amen. Us and some Windex, and it'll be a fun day. And it's an exciting day because God has answered our prayers. Amen. We've been praying prayer 113 in the Prayers That Avail Much book. We use that on Wednesday night Bible mm-hmm. study prayer meeting. And that prayer says that God's going to give us the ministry facilities
that will more than meet the needs of the ministry he has called us to.
And I just had to quote that as I wrote the letters this week to everyone saying, here's what God has done. Look what the Lord has done. Oh, my. Oh, my. So often, dear friends, we get bogged down in fear. And we've talked a lot today about becoming free. This is one of those areas that we just have to learn to overcome in the area of fear. Otherwise, fear will keep you from ever stepping out in faith. I asked Connie to put this new Chris Tomlin song on. We've done it a few times in our worship service at Beacon. We'll do it again soon. I love this song. Whom Shall I Fear? Straight from the scripture. Listen to it. It should encourage you. Me shall stand. The word says no weapon formed against you can possibly prosper.
Amen.
Okay? Every tongue that accuses you in judgment will show to be in the wrong. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and our vindication is from him. I love that song. Whom shall I fear? The God of angel armies goes beside me, behind me, with me. He's in me. He's right there, and he is moving in your behalf, dear one. You're listening to this radio show either now live or at a later date on our website in And that is by no accident. Divine appointment. God wants you to come out of some of that anxiety, Alice, that we were talking about, you brought up.
I agree.
And that agoraphobia?
Agoraphobia.
Oh, yeah. That's agriculture. Okay. fear of agriculture.
Fear of farmers.
No.
Fear of vegetables.
Agoraphobia is like fear of leaving your home.
Got it. Okay. All right. And so, yeah, that anxiety, that there are people out there that are so afraid of coming out of their familiar surroundings and stepping out. And the devil loves that. If you're stuck in a rut in your house and can't get out, the devil loves that.
Right.
So let's go to Romans 7 a moment. Here we go. And we're going to go into 8. But let's start with verse 21. It happens, Paul says, it happens so regularly that it's predictable. What happens? That he wants to do good and he doesn't, okay? And then he says, I'm reading from the Message Bible, the moment I decide to do good, sin is there to trip me up. Mm-hmm. I truly delight in God's commands, but it's pretty obvious that not all of me joins in that delight. I love that. That is so down to earth. True. Parts of me covertly rebel, and just when I least expect it, they take charge. I've tried everything and nothing helps. I'm at the end of my rope. Is there no one who can do anything for me? Isn't that the real question? Now let's look at verse 25 of Romans 7. The answer, thank God, is that Jesus Christ can and does. He acted to set things right in this life of contradictions, where I want to serve God with all my heart and mind, but am pulled by the influence of sin to do something totally different. Let's read verse 25 in other translations. What do you have there? You've got Message right in front of you, don't you?
Yeah, I have the Message.
Okay. Front. What do you have, PJ?
Tree of Life and Living.
Okay. Just read it in one of them.
Okay,
yeah.
I'll do the Tree of Life.
Okay.
Verse 25, thanks be to God. It is through Messiah Yeshua our Lord.
Mm-hmm.
So then, with my mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with my flesh, I serve the law of sin.
Whoa. Okay. So thanks be to God who does lead us in victory, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we go on into chapter 8, and it starts out by saying there is therefore no condemnation. So let's say you're one of these that are going, yeah, yeah, you've hit it. You've hit the nail on the head today. I'm full of anxiety. I'm full of fear. I'm full of depression. I'm full of inactivity. I don't do anything for God. I'm just stuck in the rut. And Paul starts out with Romans 8, there's no condemnation. Okay, so you let go of that and you forgive yourself. You know, I think that's big, PJ. I think so often we get so down on ourselves, we really need to learn to forgive ourselves for our problems and our issues.
And I mean, that's why I like some, you know, sometimes you just read and you just have to go from the end of one chapter right into the beginning of another,
right,
even though you're Bible reading plan tells you to stop.
Right.
Because then you
this
might
flows,
miss.
Doesn't it? Yeah.
You might miss because Paul says in the end of chapter 7, wretched man that I am, who's going to rescue me from the body of this death? I'm trapped in this cycle. And he says, thanks be to God. And you know what?
Amen.
There's no more condemnation. There is therefore,
woo!
Because
yes,
of what Jesus has done, I had an old pastor always say, see what the therefore is there for.
Okay.
And, you know, and it usually ties, you know, it ties back in this case to the verse before it, where Paul says, Jesus has done this.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why there is no condemnation.
Amen.
That's why we can walk free. And I think that's what keeps so many people bound up in anxiety or whatever, is because they're feeling condemned because I shouldn't be having these feelings.
Right.
I'm a Christian. I shouldn't be depressed. I'm
right.
A Christian. I shouldn't be anxious. I'm a Christian. I shouldn't keep committing these sins.
Right.
And people get all bound up in that, and then they get into that condemnation. Well, that just puts more chains around you.
That's exactly right. It does. And Paul says here, you know, quit thinking in that way. And let's go down to verse, in the Message Bible, let's go down to verse 5 of Romans 8. Those who think they can do it on their own end up obsessed with measuring their own moral muscle, but never get around to exercising it in real life. Those who trust God's action in them find that God's Spirit is in them. Okay, so what's the answer for all of this? In my own flesh, I can't overcome fear. I can't overcome anxiety. I can't overcome depression, perhaps, or hopelessness. But when I trust God, it says here, those who trust God's action in them find that God's spirit is in them, living and breathing God. Obsession with self in these matters is a dead end. Attention to God leads us out into the open, into a spacious, free, turn the page, life. Focusing on the self is the opposite of focusing on God.
Mm-hmm. I think when you try to do it yourself.
Right.
When you try to come out of your depression by mm-hmm. yourself, if mm-hmm. you try to come out of your anxiety or whatever by yourself,
right.
using only, you know, the capabilities that you have,
right.
then it's going to seem like an impossible task.
It is.
And it'll be very difficult for you to do anything.
Right.
But if you'll trust God and trust that He is in you and
Amen.
Working through you.
That's it right there.
Then it'll just come.
Right. It will happen.
The anxiety will decrease.
Right.
The depression will lessen. And not by anything that you're doing other
right.
than just trusting,
trusting God.
And letting Him.
It sounds
be.
Too simple, Alice, that instead of me trying to fix myself, that instead I have to trust God to fix me in His time. That sounds too simple, don't you think?
Yes.
and that's exactly where God wants us.
Right.
Right?
It seems way too simple. It seems like, you know, I have to be doing something to get rid of this. I have to, you know, I have to take this action. I've got to read this book. I've got to do this. I've got to
read
do
five
that.
Chapters before I go to sleep.
Right. I've got to do something, well, you know, in order to fix this anxiety problem that I have.
Right.
When actually it's just letting go and letting
Woo!
God. And once you release that to God,
you are right on, Alice
just,
Mize.
Just,
wait a minute. Boing, boing, Alice.
You just distilled the teaching of probably 300 books that I know we've read into that. And I was just sitting here thinking, yeah,
perfect.
We
Alice,
do that.
Perfect.
And I'm not disparaging any of the preachers because you're all going to know who I'm talking about. But just, you know, seven steps to this, five steps to this.
Oh, yeah.
No, it's just simple. I mean, yeah, that can help some people, but sometimes we get so obsessed. Oh, I missed step four. I'm never going to get there. Well, maybe God wants to move you beyond that.
Right.
You know, sometimes we do that. We think, well, I have to do this and this and this. And it's just as simple as trusting God, because then God will show you by the Spirit, not by the law, but by the Spirit, what He wants you to do. Because my walk, my getting to from point A to point B in my freedom may not, it probably is not going to be the same walk for either of you.
Right.
God's going to deal with each one of us individually. So kind of a prepackaged having to do steps A, B, and C is not going to work for everybody.
One thing I want to clarify, though,
right on.
Is that some people, because of their depression, anxiety, whatever, have been prescribed medication by
sure,
their doctor.
Sure, we're not against medication.
No, we're not against medication. I
no.
want to
Absolutely.
Make sure
no, we're not.
That people understand
Good
that
point.
You continue to take your medication and you work with your doctor. If you feel you need to come off of it, then you work with
Good
your doctor
point.
And coming off
Absolutely.
Of that medication.
Good point. And I'm glad you made that. I have three children, which I dearly, dearly love. And now all these grandchildren, great-grandchildren, and da-da-da. And more on the way, I'm sure. But my three kids came from the same parents, okay? And you each just have one daughter, so mm-hmm. it's a little harder for maybe you to relate to this. But my two sons and my daughter, all three of them are totally different individuals. They see things different. The way I interact with my son, Ryan, my oldest son, the grandpa of the twins now, is totally different. Our relationship is different than my relationship with my daughter, Lori, or my son, Mark. And the way Mark and I interact, Mark and I had a fascinating, and his wife, Candy, yesterday, conversation about taxes that had to do with homes and equity and all kinds of stuff, which I know you would understand that. You're an accountant, Dallas. But I mean, I would not have that conversation with Ryan. You know what I'm saying?
You also wouldn't have it with me.
Okay. All right. So my point, my simple point is this. I'll get to it here in a minute. Is that just like a mother or a father deals differently with their children because their children are different. And that is, amazes me that three such different children can come from the same two parents. So like God that he deals with each of us differently,
right.
Alice.
Right.
I mean, he sees what you need, you know, in your area of your life, whatever it is you're, he's working on you about right now. He sees what I need. He's going to treat me differently. He's going to speak to me differently than he does you. How amazing is our God that he has all of us and yet knows everything about us.
Right.
Well, yeah, and that's scary and comforting at the same time.
I mean,
you know, you read Psalm 139. He knows, and again, I have to refer to Nan, who's not with us today, but her King James version, I love.
Happy birthday, Nan. It's
yes, happy birthday, Nan. He knows my down sitting and my uprising. I just love the way that's phrased in the King James. But God knows.
My down sitting and my uprising.
He knows. Okay. He knows a word, my thoughts, even before the words on my lips, he knows what I'm doing.
Right.
And David wrote, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. I cannot attain to it. And sometimes I sit back and say, such knowledge is too scary for me. I don't want to think about it. But the amazing thing is, like you said, he knows us individually. He knows us inside and out. And yet the next part of that psalm is, David talks about how God put us together.
Yes.
Amen. In our mother's womb, he knit us together. So he knew what he was getting when he did that. And yet, from that, just see, I'm tongue-tied. Just the amazing love God has.
Amen.
The things he wants for us are so amazing. Even though he knows our frame, he knows we're dust. And yet he still wants to have that relationship, give us that freedom.
And he wants us to all want to be free from all the junk that holds us back. And I believe he puts that desire in us. You know, there is that God-given place in us where we do have a need for God. Listen to this new song by King and Country. I've not heard it yet. Hope is what we crave. And I believe it is. Hope is what we crave.
Sleeps without me, sweet dreams surround me, but I'm left out. I need a reason to believe, to feel. These rooms are dark now, and these halls are hollow, and so
you, Lord, for that hope.
Amen.
That blessed hope. Praise God. Hope is what we crave. We don't want to be lost, discouraged, defeated, walking around like people with a blindfold on our eyes and earplugs in our ears so we don't hear truth and don't see what God is doing. And what's that verse, Pastor Jim, you just showed me out during that song?
Ecclesiastes 3, verse 11. Yet God has made everything beautiful for its own time. He has planted eternity in the human heart, but even so, people cannot see the whole scope of God's work from beginning to end. There is so much just in that one little verse.
There is, isn't there?
I mean, we talked about before, in his time, you mentioned that. It may not happen in our time or in quick enough for somebody else. You know, they'd love to see change in us. It may not happen quick enough for them, but it's in God's time.
Because he's working on each of us in his own way.
Right. And he planted eternity in the human heart. That's that part of us that longs for God. That's that part of us that connects. You know, once we come to know God through Jesus, that's the part that connects to Jesus.
Amen.
And even so, people, we can't see the whole scope of God's work from beginning to end. Paul says that we see in a mirror darkly.
Right.
You know, we know in part. Eventually, yeah, we will. But right now, we don't know what's going on inside. You know, I don't know what's going on inside of Alice.
Right.
I don't know what's going inside of you. Sometimes I don't even know what's going on inside of me. But God's working it in his own time.
And he so works with us individually, and how he can work with billions of people at the same time is beyond any scope that any of us can understand. But Alice, you summed it up a few minutes ago. It comes down to trusting him and giving it to him. Whatever our life's issues are, God has got to be the one that goes deeply in there. This is a good example. I just saw a commercial for CyberKnife. Have you seen CyberKnife? It's a new way that people are
treated for cancer.
For treating cancer, where it's a laser beam that goes in. Now, I mean, that's scary. I mean, I'm used to the old open you up on the operating table, you know, and take out whatever or, you know, move something around or whatever you have to do. But this commercial is CyberKnife, you know, where that cyber, you can't see that thing. It's going in, it's directed, and it's rooting out that cancer. You know, interesting.
Right.
That's how the Holy Spirit does it in our lives, Alice. He goes in like a big old spiritual CyberKnife.
CyberKnife. Mm-hmm.
And he goes in and he cuts out that ugliness, that hatred, that resentment. He says, wait a minute, let's do some forgiveness here, you know? Mm-hmm. Let's get rid of this anxiety. Don't you know that you can trust me? You know, that kind of thing. That's what he does all the time. Big old spiritual CyberKnife.
And to further that parallel.
Okay, here we go.
The CyberKnife is supposed to be very accurate.
Very accurate.
So it only takes out just what's needed. And that too is kind of like the Holy Spirit. He doesn't come in and, you know, take out more than is needed. Takes out just, you know, just that area, works on just that area. Doesn't damage everything else in trying to correct this one thing.
Good point.
Now, you know, when we try it on our own, like we've talked about all the way through this, we tend to damage everything.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we kind of go in and as we try and correct ourselves.
Or others,
yeah.
Yeah, we'll beat them up.
We tend to do a little bit more damage.
Cause more harm than good.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Okay, so look at Romans 8, and I don't know what verse this is, but I'm guessing it's around 11, 10 or 11, because this is the Message Bible. But for you who welcome him in whom he dwells, even though you still experience all the limitations of sin, you yourself experience life on God's terms. It stands to reason, doesn't it, that if the alive and present God, now I know this is verse 11, because if that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell
I'll
in
be
us,
singing.
Woo, then that same spirit will bring life, Zoe, life to your mortal body. In the Message Bible, it says, this, it stands to reason, doesn't it, that if the alive and present God who raised Jesus from the dead moves into your life, he'll do the same thing in you that he did in Jesus, bringing you alive to himself. When God lives and breathes in you, and he does, as surely as he did in Jesus, you are delivered from that dead life. With his spirit living in you, your body will be as alive as Christ's. Whoa, look it down to verse 15. This resurrection life you receive from God is not a timid, grave-tending life. Okay? It's not like we're just sitting around waiting to die. You know, have you ever talked to people or go,
Well, I think it's the grave tending. It's like, you know, when you go out and you tend somebody's grave, you're very quiet. And And very respectful.
And they're up in heaven laughing at you.
Yeah.
Right? But a grave tending life, yeah, it can be that. And it can be that we so often, when we think of graves, we think of death. We think of no more life.
Right.
We think of no more laughter, no more joy. You know, it's all over. And why? Go ahead.
Well, I was going to just back up a little bit. I love the way the, and you know me, I mostly go for those word for word translations, but I really do like the New Living.
Yeah.
Which is a lot freer. It's just, therefore, dear brothers and sisters, this is in 14. We have an obligation. We have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. You know, before we got saved, we had no choice. We sinned because that was what we did. And now Paul says, you're not under an obligation to do that.
Right.
For if you live by its dictates, you'll die. But if through the power of the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the sinful nature, you'll live. For all of us who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. And, you know, like you said, Pastor, we've not received a spirit of... you know, that makes us fearful.
Right.
We don't become slaves to fear because of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
We've received the spirit of adoption by which we cry out, Abba.
Right.
Father, Dad.
Right.
You know, that's the kind of relationship God wants with us. And that's only through the Spirit. You don't get to that certainly not by the flesh, certainly not by the law. That's not Dad.
Right.
It's only through the Holy Spirit.
Abba. It's kind of translated Papa, right? Papa, one of the translations says, Papa, what's next? What do you got for me today? You know, where are we going with this, you know? Go ahead. It just absolutely amazes me that people don't trust God. I mean, maybe that's because I've lived this and walked it for so long, but I guess the older I get, the more I realize it's all about what you said a few minutes ago, Alice. It is all about trusting God, that he's going to perfect us. He's going to change us. I guess the older I get, I'm beginning to get this. I can't fix me. I can't fix you, and I can't fix anybody else. All I can do is trust God that he's doing it.
It sounds so simple, but it can be such a difficult difficult place to get to where you can actually hand things over to God and trust him to take care of it.
Yeah.
Because that means, like we've talked about here, yielding to the Spirit. It means yielding, submitting to God, submitting to the Spirit. And it's certainly a lot easier. And I think this is one of the reasons that people don't just do this, because, you know, it's easier to follow a set of rules.
Oh, yes.
Or to have a set of, and so many false religions have all those dictates, those things you have to do.
Right.
And that's what sets true Christianity apart. It's so simple.
It's too simple.
Jesus Christ, Paul summed it up in 1 Corinthians 15. Jesus Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He rose again on the third day. He's coming back.
Wow.
That could be simpler.
And all we have to do is believe that.
All we have to do is believe
that. And we have to believe that when we accept him as our personal Lord and Savior, he moves in on the inside of us.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's when he begins the Mr. Clean cyber knife, process, where he begins to root out that junk in us.
And that's what I think scares some people.
Oh,
they don't want
to
submit. It's much easier if we can keep God in that little, I have to go out and witness to X number of people box, or I'm going to be annihilated, or I have to do this, I have to get married in a specific church so I can bear spiritual children.
Right.
All that craziness.
Legalism.
All that craziness
rules
that people have tacked on to the simple gospel.
Right. And when the young religious scholar in Luke 10, I think I mentioned this probably a half of all of our radio shows, or a quarter of them, this scripture, Luke 10:22. The young religious scholar comes to Jesus and he says, Master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And I love what Jesus does, because he answers a question with a question, which is a wise thing to do. And he says, how does it read to you? And he says, well, the way I see it, are you turning to that? Mm-hmm. Go ahead. Go ahead in your translation there, and we'll see what it says
okay.
here.
Okay.
Just start right there at 10, 21, 22, wherever.
25.
Luke 10:25. Okay, I was off a couple verses.
One day, an expert in religious law. That would be me.
There you go. Yeah, that would be PJ.
Too often it is, unfortunately. Stood up to test Jesus by asking him this question. Teacher, what should I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus replied, what does the law of Moses say? How do you read it? Which, you know, that was really cool, because here's this religious, this expert in the law, and Jesus says, well,
just flips it around on him.
You know the law, you tell me. And the man answered, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus says, right, Jesus said to him, do this and you will live.
That's it.
That's it.
And you know, this is where we get hung up, because tradition, you know, remember that Fiddler on the Roof? Tradition, remember that?
Do I know Fiddler on the Roof?
I saw that as a play when I was very, very young, and a theater, and I never forgot it. The old man standing up there, whatever his name was.
The Fiddler.
But up there on the roof of the house, you know, tradition. And it was all about that in that play. Excellent play. To make the point that we get hung up in our tradition so much that tradition becomes our God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the rules, the regulations from our past become that. Growing up in different cultures, we have all those traditions, those rules, you know. Alice?
I agree.
And you have a mother? Well, she's with the Lord now, right. But your mother was born in?
My mom was born in Hong Kong.
Right.
She's Chinese, and she, there's a lot of rules and traditions for the Chinese kids that we need to follow that I wasn't very good at following.
Somehow that does not amaze me at all. I mean, that you had a hard time
following
that. Such a
rebel.
Such a rebel, yeah. Traditions. Yeah,
the traditions are, I mean, I think they're good in that they teach history sometimes.
Right.
But you can't get so hung up on them that you can't be willing to step out and try.
Absolutely. And so what happens so often is, and this Jesus said, you answered it correctly.
Mm-hmm.
Love the Lord your God. That's it right there.
Right.
Love. That's it.
And yet, what did this religious scholar do? Well, who is my neighbor? It's like, that's too easy.
It's too easy. Back to that. It's too easy. Right.
Then tell me, like, who's my neighbor? Pick somebody out and tell me who I have to love.
Right.
And, you know, then Jesus told the parable of the Good Samaritan. And, you know, but again, it was too easy for the religious scholar.
Right.
And he said, okay, but then tell me who I have to love. Who is my neighbor? Who in this crowd do I have to love?
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
And that's we could go on with that. Listen to this new song by Natalie Grant, Hurricane.
Sinking ship, you're wondering.
You feel the rain, call his name. He'll find you in the hurricane.
That is
wow.
So good.
New song by Natalie Grant. And you know, so often that's where we are. We're right there in the middle of the rainstorm. It's happening and we don't know what's going on and why our life is taking this turn, or why somebody doesn't love us, or why the job that we had that we loved is no longer there, or why a family member has turned on us, or for whatever myriad things that come up in our lives that can feel like a hurricane, right, Alice?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. And yet he's right there in the middle of that storm.
Right. He's right there, and he's the anchor in the storm. When you've gotten to the point where the rain is just pelting you too hard, then you just call out his name.
Amen.
And he's there.
And he's got the answer.
He's got the answer.
Woo! He'll find you in the hurricane. I love it.
Yeah, I like that because it's... in the hurricane, which, you know, praise God, not been through one, don't really want to go through one.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know, you think of the power of a hurricane. And what I see is just things whirling and twirling and, you know, horizontal rain, and it's just horrible. You can't even stand up. And sometimes, you know, your lives feel that out of control.
Absolutely.
That you're just kind of being pushed by the wind.
Right.
You're just being whipped around, that you're not in control, and yet... Again, call his name. He'll find you no matter what's happening.
He'll find you in the hurricane.
He'll find you in this hurricane.
Right.
And you think of being able to find anything in a hurricane, and yet God will reach down and find you in that hurricane. Whatever your needs are, he'll find you.
So that has to take us to Romans 8, verse 26. And in the Message Bible, it says this: meanwhile, the moment we get tired in the waiting, of course, none of us have ever been tired in the waiting for God to change our circumstances. Have we? Can anybody say
never,
amen?
No,
never. Okay. So there are times that we are in the midst of the storm. It's the hurricane season. We are absolutely beat up. Up against the rocks, like in my little kayak story a few years back, where I just kept getting shoved in a storm right up against the rocks, time and time again. There are times in our lives we feel that way. Some of you out there today may be feeling exactly what we're talking about. You feel like you're caught up in a hurricane. You're caught up in a perfect storm, that it doesn't matter what you do, it's not going to work out good for you. And so I love Romans 8:26. Meanwhile, the moment we get tired in the waiting, God's Spirit is right alongside helping us along. Woo! That's a big, huge praise, God. If we don't know how or what to pray, it doesn't matter. He does our praying in and for us. making prayer out of our wordless sighs and our aching groans. And again, this is talking here about praying in the Spirit, which we'll have a show on that sometime, because I love this, that when we don't know how to pray, we give it to God and we just allow Him to pray through us. He knows us far better than we know ourselves, knows our pregnant condition. I don't think any of us here at this table are actually pregnant, but we are pregnant. I don't think so. But we are pregnant with the Spirit of God that lives on the inside of us. Right. Okay. And keeps us present before God. That's why we can be so sure. This is Romans 8:28. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God and are called according to His purpose. The Message Bible says that's why we can be so sure that every detail in our lives of love for God is worked into something good. Wow. Pastor Jim, what are you looking at? I see you looking at it.
Oh, just these are some of my favorite scriptures.
Aren't these? The Romans 8. Oh.
And I love the flow of this, because Paul says, you know, it's the Spirit knows our weaknesses.
Right.
And so he'll pray for us. And the Father, who knows all hearts, knows what the Spirit's saying, because the Spirit pleads for us believers. And by the way, and not only that, but we know that everything's going to work out for our good because we love God and are called according to His purpose.
Amen.
And then this next verse. For God knew His people in advance.
Right.
For those whom He foreknew, and He chose them to become like His Son. We're destined. God, that's the calling God has put on each one of our lives, to be like His Son.
Amen.
And those, and He, and so that His Son would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And having chosen them, or having chosen us, He called us to come to Him. And having called them, He gave us right standing with Himself, and giving us right standing, He gave us then His glory.
Amen.
You know that.
Wow.
How incredible! Because He knew we would say yes.
Right.
And then, so He called us because He knew we were going to say yes. He called us. He made us righteous. He gave us His glory.
Amen.
You know, so He didn't just call us and leave us groping around in the dark. He called us, saved us, made us righteous, and empowered us.
Empowered us to change, and really loves us enough that when He sees areas in our lives that we need to work on and really come out of hopelessness, come out of despair, come out of fear, come out of anxiety, come out of the
agoraphobia.
Yeah, that. And all of those things that we need to come out of, He gives us that ability to do it. He changes us. He changes our attitudes, Alice. I think it is amazing how He works on the inside of us.
Yeah, He is an amazing God.
Amen.
But it's just the little things that He can tweak inside us and just get us in the right attitude, get us in the right place.
It's just amazing.
Where we can accept His help.
Yes.
You know?
Sometimes it takes getting us to the point where we're ready to be helped.
Right.
That we are in our stubbornness and our rebellion. We're going, I'm fine. Leave me alone.
Well, it's not only that, but I mean, sometimes it gets to be such, this is my life.
I am
so used to being in this setting of, let's take anxiety for an example.
Right.
I'm so used to always being anxious. I don't remember anything else. And so it gets a little scary if you think that can go away, because then you wonder, well,
what's
going to replace it? What else is there?
Right, exactly.
You know, so God has to get us to that point where we're willing to let go of that and give it to Him.
And I believe there's some of you out there in Radio Land today that need to make that decision, who need to say, I'm willing to let God free me up on the inside from anything and everything that causes me to not move forward into the things of God and be able to accomplish His plan for my life. Let's go ahead.
Oh, no.
Let's pray for these right now, because Alice, earlier you felt like there were some people that were actually just afraid to leave their homes.
Yeah, I did feel that. I felt that they were people that were dealing with a panic attack.
Panic attacks.
And also the agoraphobia, not being able to leave your home without a lot of anxiety and fear.
Okay, so we right now take authority over all of that in the name of Jesus. We have that right to do that. Yes. God has given us the right. And he says that he has given us the ability to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And that translated is talking about evil actions and evil words. And it's an evil action of the enemy that would keep someone bound up in their home as a hoarder or as somebody who could not leave their home. Right. Both of those issues have come up today. We take authority over both of those. Yes. In the name of Jesus. We take authority over that anxiety that might be absolutely controlling you to the point that you have panic attacks, to the point that you're nervous all the time. You break out in sweats and you just are just full of fear and anxiety. We take authority over those things right now in the name of Jesus. Amen. We declare that by the stripes of Jesus, he already took all that anxiety, all that fear, all that panic, every bit of it in his body on the cross. The scripture says in Galatians, he became the curse and took all of those cursed things, panic, anxiety, fear, all of it, depression, all of it in his body on the cross. And he did that so that we would not have to carry it. You need to see that panic, that spirit of hoarding, that anxiety, whatever it is, on Jesus, because he already took it. If you're ill today, you've got pain in your body, see that on Jesus. He already did it. And by faith, accept your healing right now. Alice felt like God was speaking that to her. I bear witness with that. Whoever you are out there in Radio Land, either now live or later on our website, accept your healing. Declare in the name of Jesus that you agree with what Jesus did on the cross. You put yourself in agreement with the finished work of Jesus, and you declare and receive by faith your healing for the panic, the anxiety, the fear, all these things we've talked about today, the depression. And you are free to be the person that God has ordained for you to be from the foundation of the earth. God knows the plans he has for you. Jeremiah 29:11-14 says that he has plans for you, for your future, to give you a future and hope, not to destroy you, not to bring you sadness. God does not put fear, disease, anxiety. None of that comes from God. That comes from the devil. Jesus said in John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, but I came to give you life and to give it abundantly till it overflows. So accept that life, abundant life, right now in the name of Jesus. Amen. We pray for you. We ask God to move in your life. We ask that you will accept his free gifts that he has for you. We ask that you will accept this knowledge that he already took these things in his body on the cross, and that you will this day decide to move forward into freedom to become all you can be in Jesus. We declare that in the name of Jesus. Amen.
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 And amen. Wow. I'm going to come back to you both for a final word in just a moment. If you listen to this broadcast in other parts of the nation, other parts of the world, we invite you to become a partner with us. Go to our website, beaconofhopeministries.com. We are a global ministry. If you have a prayer need, we want you to use our prayer line. And it is prayers at BOHM. That stands for Beacon of Hope Ministries. It's just easier, a new email address. Prayers at BOHMglobal.com, because people from different parts of the world use our prayer line. We invite you to use it. Prayers at BOHMglobal.com. Pastor Jim, right here, my associate pastor, Carol up in Georgia, they will be the ones picking up the prayer at request and writing a prayer. And you love to have to write these prayers.
I love
it. It's not a task. It's a joy, isn't it?
It's a joy. And it's a joy to send them out. And it's a joy to get the praise reports back.
Amen. So send us those.
You know, because we do get those, and then I click on those and save them to a special folder.
Right.
Because we know that God answers prayer.
Yes.
And otherwise, why bother?
Why would we be doing this show?
Why would we do this? Why would we have the prayer line if we didn't believe that God answers prayer? And we've seen God answer
prayer.
Amen.
Hugely.
Oh, yeah.
Major things. Cancer, all kinds of things. There's nothing that God can't do.
Amen.
Blindness restored. Amen. Eyesight. Whatever your need, write it at prayers@bohmglobal.com, and we want to hear from you. If you want to talk to me personally, write an email, pastor@bohmglobal.com. Pastor Jim, my associate pastor, pastorjim@bohmglobal.com. We want you to use our prayer line. Alice, some final words?
Just to give things over to God. Don't be afraid to let him know where you're at. He already knows, but right. Tell him where you're at, and don't be afraid to just let him take care of the situation.
Amen. Let him do the work in you that he wants to do. Don't fight it.
Don't fight it. Just let him do it.
Let him do it. PJ?
And don't set up roadblocks for yourself.
That's a good point.
You know,
sabotage, shoot yourself in the foot, you mean?
Yeah, well, we've talked about so much today about setting up our own way to get to God through whatever, legalism or whatever. You know, it's all about the Spirit. It's all about moving in the Spirit, not moving in our own rules, you know, that we make up or that somebody else tells us we have to do. It's all about listening and trusting God.
Amen.
Moving by the Spirit.
Woo! Praise God. Wow. We're so glad you've joined us today on Living the Good Life, and it is a joy every week to come to you into your homes, cars, wherever you listen to this, or maybe in the internet in the middle of the night when you can't sleep and you get up and put on one of these shows. It is a joy to be able to serve the Lord in this way. If you're in the Tampa Bay area, we welcome you to come to one of our services soon and enjoy the new facility that God has given us that we are so excited about, which we will be working on tomorrow and moving everything out of storage on Labor Day and doing a little labor for the Lord tomorrow and doing some cleaning and some picnic eating and all kinds of fun. So we welcome any of you to join us if you would like to tomorrow around 11 o'clock at our new location, 21933 U.S. Highway 19 North, right in Clearwater, right at the corner basically of Drew and 19. So we want you to find us in a service. Go to our website, beaconofhopeministries.com, and find out all about the ministry, what we believe. We're just a word teaching, non-denominational ministry that believes in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We welcome you to find Jesus if you don't know him right now. And Amen. We will end with this song that we love so much. This has been Pastor Marcia, Pastor Jim, and our dear Alice today on Living the Good Life. It's not far to Jesus. God bless you. Join us next Sunday, 3 o'clock.
It's not far from here to Jesus. His loving arms are open wide. Close your eyes.